Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate all your comments throughout the last couple months. And today is July 7th, 2008, and I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts. And I'm really happy and proud that I'm with Gerald Fuller. He has a company called the Travel Advice Company, and he's my great co-host. We've been doing over 60 shows now, 60 or 70 shows, and it's a great pleasure. I'd like to introduce Gerald Fuller, and he's going to introduce our topic and our guest today.
Well, hello, Chris.
Hi.
It's good to be on the show again, and I'm very excited about this topic, because it's worldwide and it appeals to a tremendous amount of people, especially when they learn more about it. And we're very excited to have with us Mary Camp, who is with Adventure Life Voyages, and she is the adventure coordinator there and can help us understand about the adventure, exotic, small cruise industry and opportunities. Mary, welcome. We're thrilled to have you on this show today.
Well, it's great to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Yeah, pleasure to have you on the show.
I'd like to start out first talking about a definition of your exotic adventure cruises, because they're not like normal cruises, are they? Like the normal ones you find with 2,000 passengers. Would you like to explain to us a little bit about the definition of them?
Absolutely. And actually, that's an excellent question, because I get a lot of travelers that come and they see our site, they see some of the cruises, and they say, well, they sound like fun, but we're not adventure travelers. You know, we couldn't handle a cruise like that. And I always have to tell them that adventure travel cruises actually spans a wide range of options. What we're talking about when we talk about adventure cruises are small ships, usually 50 to 100 passengers, that are doing some really unique and interesting things, but that really target a wide variety of audiences. I would say half of the travelers that I book are senior travelers, and the other half are across the board, everywhere from honeymooners to recent retirees to young working professionals to even families and children. In fact, I took my two-year-old on one of our adventure cruises last fall, and we had an amazing time. When I look at the adventure cruises, to me, I'm actually looking at sort of three different things. I mean, you have the traditional what people think of when you think the word adventure. There's cruises that go to Antarctica in a small boat, and you're doing sea kayaking, and you're going, ice climbing, you're going cross-country skiing, you're camping on the actual continent. There certainly is that component as one option, but also adventure cruises can just mean being on a small boat and getting into places that are really remote, inaccessible with a larger boat, or perhaps really exotic places that have just opened up. For example, we have a boat that's going to be traveling into Libya next year. Just recently opened up for U.S. travelers.
Oh, great.
And then kind of the third range of adventure travelers are actually boats that go to really common destinations like the Mediterranean or Alaska, boats that travel in the same areas as the large ships, but just do it in a different way, where you're getting more up close and personal with the wildlife, up close and personal with the people. And a lot of times those adventure trips are going to be attracting lots of families, lots of senior travelers, lots of people who don't necessarily have the quote-unquote adventure capabilities that you would think of. And so really adventure travel spans all those different options.
All right. Hello?
Oh, I thought we'll edit this part out right here.
Okay.
Because I thought you were going to say something else. But, Mary, you hinted about where you go, that the thing that's fabulous is that you go to practically every continent in the world, and as you say, you go to normal places, but there are some places that you go that aren't so normal. You want to talk just a minute about the abnormal ones, like in Far East Russia, and the way that some of the ones are done in the Caribbean or South America?
Absolutely. I mean, that to me is the really exciting part of adventure cruise travel, that sort of second option I was talking about that goes to these exotic places. In fact, I've had travelers who are a member of what's called the Century Club. They're trying to hit at least 100 different countries in the world, trying to get to really unusual spots. And they call me because small ship travel is often the only way that you can get into some of these areas. And I kind of hinted one of them that's really exciting for a lot of these travelers for next year is Libya. I mean, There's not very many ways that people can travel to Libya, and certainly not a lot of ways that you can travel there feeling safe as an American when it's just emerging market for travelers. Going on a boat with a guided trip with professionals that really know the region well and also know how to keep the group safe and comfortable is a unique opportunity. And so I get a lot of travelers looking at places like that, or there's another option that we have that's going up the west coast of Africa, and that one actually stops at about 12 different countries along the coast. And again, really popular among these travelers that want to get into places that you wouldn't be able to access on your own, and you certainly couldn't access in a 30-day trip on your own that many different countries. And so that offers that opportunity. And then certainly, like you hinted at, Antarctica and the Arctic, we have voyages that actually go up to the North Pole itself, that you can be at the magnetic North Pole. Well, there's really no other way other than flying across it that you're going to be at the North Pole. And so so those trips are really exciting to somebody who's done a lot of traveling, because you're getting into areas that you just couldn't do on your own.
I know, and a lot of our listeners who may love cruises have never even thought of doing a small cruise type ship in this type of a program. And do you want to give an idea of and I know there's no real typical, but it may be a typical day on board one of these ships, what you might be doing?
Yeah, this is another joy of the small ships, is that as opposed to being on a larger vessel, which more traditionally you're going to be on board the boat, and they're going to have lots of facilities on board, and maybe you'll make a port stop, but they're relatively short periods of time and relatively major cities. Well, the itinerary on these smaller ships is a little bit different, because the focus is getting into these areas that are either particularly remote or that you want to get up-close access to, or that are, like I said, exotic areas that people don't normally travel. And so the way the itinerary works is you get up first thing in the morning, and you've often already reached your destination. They've traveled throughout the night. The focus isn't necessarily on the cruise itself, but on where you're going to be. And so you have some breakfast on board the boat, and then you go on a guided excursion, and they're almost always quite small groups with extremely well-trained guides. Oftentimes they're PhDs that have been studying the area for some time that are the ones that are guiding you on these trips. And they're going to take you out, and they're going to show you what that area is like, whether it's seeing ancient ruins in Libya or it's going on an Antarctic Zodiac cruise, where you're going to be taking a small boat over to the continent and seeing the penguins and the whales and the other wildlife along the way. So the focus is getting out, seeing the places, doing a guided trip in a small group. And then you come back to the boat. Usually you'll have lunch a lot of times on board the boat. Of course, it varies from boat to boat and itinerary to itinerary. But oftentimes they'll set it up so then they can kind of sail to the next area, have another afternoon excursion planned, and then use that evening time on board to talk about what you've seen. Usually, the large boats will have all this big-time cruise entertainment, and some of that might be a possibility on these small boats too. But the focus in the evenings is on having these experts tell you about, well, here's what we've seen, here's what we're going to see tomorrow. They'll have photography guest lecturers on board. They'll have historians on board, geologists. Depending on the area that you're traveling and what sort of specialists you need, they really have a lot of special workshops and special educational programs that are offered to help you really get a sense of that area.
One thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that you can include these types of trips on other itineraries. For example, several times, and I've done it twice, if you're going to be doing like Argentina and Chile, if you want to give us an example of an option about the southern tip using one of your cruises?
Absolutely. So, for example, you're doing, and this is something I commonly set up for travelers, because we actually have a whole land program in South America as well. And so we'll have travelers that are doing one of our land programs, and they want to see the southern tip of Argentina and Chile, that Patagonian region, from the sea version. I mean, you just get to see a little bit different things when you're going by boat. And so we have a cruise that actually sails through the Patagonian fjords, and we have 4, 5, and 8-day options that can be added on or even incorporated in the middle of a trip. Sometimes logistically it makes a lot of sense to fly down to Patagonia, see some of the Argentinian side of Patagonia by land, take a cruise across to the Chilean side, get a little bit of a view from the sea of the glaciers and the wildlife that's so tremendous in that area, then get out in the Chilean side and take another land trip to some of the national parks like Torres del Paine on that area. So that can be a really convenient combination. And certainly Antarctica is another great option to add on to those trips, because almost all of the Antarctic cruises are leaving from Ushuaia, which is the southern tip of Argentina. And so if you're already going to be in Ushuaia, it sure saves you a lot of money in an Antarctic trip to already be in the area. It makes the most sense to go ahead and take advantage while you're there and do a cruise down to Antarctica if that's ever been an interest of yours. Come back to Argentina. You can finish up your tour there and then head home.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea. And another trip that I think is wonderful and an area to include land and sea is in French Polynesia and the South Pacific. You want to talk about some of those options?
Yes. I mean, the South Pacific cruises are really kind of the epitome of what a small ship cruise is all about, because the South Pacific is just dotted with all these interesting islands along the way, and what better way to see them than to be able to take a boat and stop in all of these places and see the differences between them. The issue when you're trying to do a land trip to the South Pacific is usually people fly into a single island. They fly into Tahiti, they fly into Fiji, and they stay at a resort there and they get a chance to see that one area. And that's great, but each island has its own sort of cultural and natural phenomenon that make it really special. And what better way than add on to your resort trip and do maybe a cruise. In fact, some of them go round trip Tahiti. You can leave from Tahiti, you can go see Bora Bora, you can go see the Marquesas, then you can come back over to Tahiti, so you've gotten a chance to see some other places and still do round trip airfare without having to add that expense of a one-way trip.
Mm-hmm. And another area that I think that you do a wonderful job is in North America. Now, many people don't think of North America as, quote-unquote, an adventure-type cruise experience. But you want to talk about some of those areas, because it truly is a fabulous way to see much of North America, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's kind of what I was talking about with that third option, is a lot of times people use these adventure cruises to see areas that they may have seen before in a more traditional cruise or a traditional land tour, but to get a whole different experience that's up close and personal. So, for example, if you're going to Alaska and you've ever done the cruise with a large boat, you may have seen humpback whales, but chances are you didn't see a humpback whale going right along the side of your Zodiac, perhaps close enough that you could actually reach out and touch it. And I've had travelers have that experience. In fact, one of my coworkers, this actually happened in Antarctica, but I've had travelers tell me the same thing about Alaska trips. He had a minke whale coming up alongside his Zodiac so close that a traveler did reach out and touch it, much to the dismay of the naturalist on board. But he almost tipped over the Zodiac. I mean, it was that much of a close encounter with wildlife. And so those sorts of experiences are just something you can't even imagine if you're on a large boat and you're seeing them from a distance. And similarly on the Alaska trips, the glacier viewing that you're getting from these small boats that are allowed so much closer access is just phenomenal. And so you can go into an area that you may have seen before and see it from a totally different perspective. You see pictures, interestingly enough, taken from the small ships, and there's a grizzly bear on shore that looks like he's about 12 feet away. Now, I'm sure it was taken with a good zoom lens, but it looks awfully close. And from the large boats, it's like, well, there's that dot over there. You see that grizzly bear. So it's just a different experience. And there's some interesting river trips as well. There's some trips along the St. Lawrence or the rivers in the Pacific Northwest that just give you a feel for the local culture that you aren't going to get when you're either on a large boat or even driving by car and not getting a chance to get into some of these smaller towns.
Oh, I know it. We talked about a wide variety of areas, but there are two areas that I'd like to talk about just a minute, just to give an indication of how varied the different programs are and how you can really dip into areas that you can't go to. For example, Far East Russia, the northern part of Far East Russia, and also Papua New Guinea. Do you want to spend just a second talking about those two areas? Because these are areas that many people don't go to, and maybe if you told about it, they would want to broaden their experience. Because I've been to both of these areas several times, and they're phenomenal.
Yes, again, I mean, I think you're just taking advantage of getting into areas that you may not feel, in the case of Papua New Guinea, that you may not feel safe traveling to on your own. And the fact that you can take a small boat and actually be with a staff that's going to know the area really well and know the areas to take you into, and also have the advantage, for example, of doing a circumnavigation of Papua New Guinea, which is one of the options that's available under the small boats next year. In this case, you know, you're not flying in and seeing just the capital city, which if any tourist was brave enough to do on their own, that's probably all they're going to see. You're stopping along the way and seeing tiny villages that, nobody, virtually nobody in terms of Western travelers would typically visit. And so in doing that experience, I hadn't been on the Papua New Guinea one myself, but I had a similar experience in the Darien jungle in Panama where we were at a remote village where nobody comes into, and I had my 2-year-old son who's this little blonde, and you know, all the villagers had never seen a little blonde-haired 2-year-old before, and we were absolutely the phenomenon for their village. We were probably the highlight of the year. It was a huge party when we showed up, and truly all the villagers came and circled around him. He was like the Pied Piper, and we were the ambassadors into the village because here he was leading the entire group of villagers and travelers, and suddenly we had something to connect on, even though our language was different, our experiences were different. Nothing about what our daily lives would be the same, except that they had 2-year-olds too, and they knew what they were like. And gosh, to see a blonde-haired one was pretty darn cool. And it's the same sort of experience in Papua New Guinea. You're going into these areas where they have seen very few travelers. Not only have you not been into these areas, but you're a phenomenon to them. And that adds a neat component to the trip, because you're able to share a little bit of your life with them as well, and to get a sense of what it's really like to live daily in Papua New Guinea instead of just what the tourists would see in a capital city. And then you mentioned...
Pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
you had mentioned Northern Russia, so...
Go ahead. Edit that out.
Sorry, you had mentioned Northern Russia as well.
You're 10 times more interesting than me. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Oh, Mary, we'll edit that out, all this old stuff here.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you had mentioned some of the Northern Russia trips, and I think those have both the advantage of a cultural component, but also of a really phenomenal geological component and also just wildlife component. There are trips we have, for example, that go to Franz Josef Land, and not only are those virtually inaccessible by any other travel means, but they're also virtually inaccessible by sea. You have to have a specialized iceberg that's going to take you into these regions. And that's the only way to get to these remote destinations. And so you're landing at areas where virtually no one other than military personnel in highly specialized aircraft have been into. And this just gives you a sense of the vastness of our world, of the incredible remoteness of some of these lands, and also just the beauty, the stark beauty of being in an area that very few travelers have ever set foot in. And I think that's another joy of these expedition cruises, is just the awe of being in a place that virtually no one else has the opportunity to go.
I know. One thing I'd like you to talk about just a minute is the really wide range of prices for these trips. Do you want to start with maybe the one that's the lesser and maybe the one more expensive?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question, really, because we truly have trips that range from around $1,000 a person all the way up to trips that are $30,000 a person. And really, it depends on where you're traveling into and also how nice the accommodations on board are that you're going to be seeking. You know, if you need luxury accommodations, they're going to tend to cost a bit more. There are some fabulous trips that we have in the $1,000 to $2,000 range that travel to the Amazon and travel to Alaska and the Caribbean, and they tend to be slightly simpler boats. I mean, accommodations, usually they have private baths. They have, you know, either simple twin-bedded cabins or maybe a small double bed, but just nothing fancy in terms of where you're going to be staying. But for a lot of people, that's really all they need. They don't need fancy accommodations because you're not going to be spending much time in your cabin anyway. You're going to be spending all of your days out seeing the places that you've traveled to. You're going to be getting out and meeting the villagers and getting out and seeing these incredible wildlife, these incredible sites. And so those trips are absolutely perfect for so many people. But then you have other travelers that are looking for that luxury experience, and certainly the small ships range all the way up to very spacious suites with balcony cabins and all the amenities you can think of, including free alcohol on board. I mean, they really do everything for you and have the top-name lecturers. I have boats that have had Walter Cronkite on board, and Alex Trebek, and, I mean, really interesting, fascinating people. And going into some of these really remote places where it maybe costs a bit more for them to get into these areas, or, for example, an icebreaker where it really costs a lot to run the boat, and getting up to the North Pole is not cheap because you have to have a nuclear icebreaker, which is an expensive boat to run. So those types of programs tend to be a little bit more costly, but they also attract an audience of people that either have been to all the standard places and they really want to experience these areas. And the only way to do it is on a boat that costs $25,000 to go to the North Pole because there's no other way to get there. Or travelers that just, you know, they want to do the standard areas, but they want to do it in a degree of more comfort, for example. I mean, we have Alaska cruises that can cost $12,000 a person because people want those extra amenities. And that's an excellent market to be able to target, too. It's nice to be able to offer options to everybody when they're going to Alaska, whether they have $1,000 to spend or they want the nicer accommodations and have $12,000.
Fantastic. Mary, you've done a fabulous job. I know our listeners are really excited about it. But do you want to say anything else that we haven't covered yet about Adventurous Cruises?
Is there anything that we haven't covered?
Yeah.
We're not out of time.
Oh, okay. I think you've hit the highlights. I mean, to me, the real joy, like I said, is getting into these areas and seeing them in great detail, getting the excellent guides, and just going into places that you wouldn't be able to go before. And I think of my 2-year-old wandering into these places, and it's so amazing that he had that chance. And we've got pictures of him surrounded by 20 villagers, 20 little children who all thought that him playing with the ball was the most fascinating thing that they'd ever seen. And it's those kinds of experiences that you just aren't going to get anywhere else. And so it's what makes it special to me.
Would you tell everyone how they can contact Adventure Life Voyages?
Yeah, we can be reached. Probably the website is one of the great sources of information to start with because that has all of our cruises, dates, itineraries listed. And that is alvoyages.com. The other way they can reach us is just with our toll-free number, 1-800-344-6118. I always encourage travelers to go ahead and give me a call because the website probably has 1,000 different cruises on there. It can be very overwhelming to try and scan through all the options yourself. And it's much easier to give me a call and say, well, you know, hey, I'd really like to go to Greenland, and I'd also like to see some polar bears. What do you recommend? And then I can narrow it down to maybe 10 good options, and we can go from there and find out which one's going to fit you best.
Fantastic.
Great.
Well, Mary, we appreciate it very much, and we hope our listeners will contact you because your opportunities will change their life, won't it?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Mary.